your kids could get free or low-cost health coverage from Medicaid or CHIP. Even if you've applied before, they may be eligible now. Kids up to age 19 are covered for checkups, vaccines, dentist visits, hospital care, and more. And if they already have Medicaid or CHIP, remember to renew every year. Visit insurekidsnow.gov or call 877-KIDS-NOW. Paid for by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting six crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus four biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Sports Grid. We got you till 2 o'clock on the East today. We have a lot of news today and a really big story, Davis, as we start off with here on this hour, as potential first round fantasy football draft pick from the Rams, Cam Akers, according to NFL Network, has a torn Achilles, which would obviously sideline him for the season and shift a lot of thinking for people, Davis, in the first round of the upcoming fantasy football season.
Yeah, I mean, outside of just the obvious movement from Daryl Henderson's average draft position, I do actually think this is like a pretty big structural thing at the top of drafts, because now I think there's a pretty big tier break. You know, we have, of course, McCaffrey, Cook, Kamara, Henry, Elliott, Barkley, Eckler. Then I think there's a tier break where it was Jonathan Taylor and Cam Akers. Now it's just Jonathan Taylor. And then there is, a pretty sizable gap to Clyde Edwards-Helaire, Najee Harris, Aaron Jones, Nick Chubb, those guys. So I think we will slightly see some wide receiver average draft positions at the top of the board creep up. I think we'll see, you know, DeAndre Hopkins go more in the first round, Devontae Adams go more in the first round. Some teams will be starting wide receiver, where they would have started wide receiver running back, you know, a week ago.
Yeah, and it'll be interesting as we get closer to see, as we've talked about, you could go back and watch us on demand the first hour, who they may sign, if they sign anyone. There may be nobody out there viable that could even help out the Rams situation. We'll see if they like the guys internally. All right, here are the other headlines here as we start our show here on 20th of July, 2021. Phoenix Suns trying to get this to a game seven. They're getting 4.5 points on FanDuel at Milwaukee tonight. Zach LaVine enters the COVID protocols and hopes to join the team later this week. Rays versus Orioles tonight, featuring the first all-women broadcasting crew on YouTube. A really cool story tonight to see this play out, and a really good job by baseball to get that done. And also, it'll be fun to watch the Monday Night Football megacast this season as Peyton and Eli Manning are hosting this thing. Davis, I'd love to know more about the finances here. I've been waiting on Peyton Manning to take over Monday Night Football for a long time, but not on the main broadcast. On the megacast, that's different.
Yeah, that is weird, but you're right. I mean, Peyton is so good on TV. He always has kind of had, you know, just that Southern charm. He's doing, I know from like advertisements on streaming services, he's got some kind of show that he does already. I think it's like a game show. But yeah, I mean, weird for Peyton. Also, weird for Peyton and Eli to do it together, because I don't think of Eli the same way, right? Like I don't remember Eli ever being that particularly good on TV, or, you know, being a guy that I was like, oh yeah, he's going to be great on Monday Night Football or Sunday Night Football someday. So that pairing is odd, though. It's more marketable, right? You get the brothers together, and generally that's kind of a money-making opportunity for them. But I'm excited to see Peyton on TV. He's pretty good at it.
My prediction on this one, and probably hot take prediction, is that this is so good that it ends up replacing the Monday Night Football booth. I would be scared hosting Monday Night Football, knowing that there's a chance to watch something different and Peyton Manning is involved, no doubt. But coming up tonight, it's game 6 of the NBA Finals. I don't know if LeBron James is going to follow his buddy Chris Paul around to Milwaukee, but he did show up for the last game in Phoenix and sat courtside. Although Giannis, who could end up winning the MVP after tonight, says that he did not have a chance to speak to LeBron, even though he saw him at the last game.
First time he was in the finals was 2007. I wasn't playing basketball. That's crazy to think about. Obviously, you know, I know the team is LeBron James. He was sitting right across our bench. Well, I didn't have the chance to engage with him, and, you know, I wouldn't engage with him. That's something that I don't do. It doesn't really matter who. Might be my mother sitting on courtside seat. I don't engage me while I'm playing. I just try to focus as much as possible. But this is crazy. This is a crazy story. This is not a promo. The night before, I was watching Space Jam on HBO. Yeah. So I was watching Space Jam, you know, and, you know, there he goes. This is the courtside seat sitting. But, no, I wasn't able to engage with him in any way.
Biggest takeaway for me there, Davis, is kind of a stunner. 2007, LeBron wins an NBA championship. 2007, Giannis not playing basketball. How is that possible?
Because that is how good LeBron has been, and that's how long LeBron has been that good for. Like, we get bored of LeBron, you know. We all have our hot takes on LeBron and, oh, LeBron versus MJ and blah, blah. No one cares. But I think the most insane thing about LeBron is how long he was so good for. And I think that in the end, that will kind of be what we remember LeBron for. Like, I mean, obviously we will remember the highs, but, you know, the fact that MJ really retired at age 34, LeBron's 36, and he's playing 4 more years minimum. Minimum LeBron is playing 4 more years.
Yeah, he's waiting for his son to get in the NBA. I think that's the final thing that's going to happen there, no doubt. But, I mean, honestly, like, my bigger takeaway, Davis, was not even that. It was that Giannis was not playing basketball in 2007.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
Does not feel like that long ago. What was he doing? Just hanging out? Like, it's just the guy's the best player. One of the best players in the NBA, about to win a championship. Stunning. Take him or leave him in fantasy football. We got that for you next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Drafted in the NFFC as far as fantasy football early average draft position is concerned. Maybe some of the Cam Akers information, maybe Aaron Rodgers, you know, sort of what's being reported about him being upset with whatever contract offer he got. ESPN's reporting that he turned down an extension. We'll see about all of that. But today we're just focused on the players we know, where they are, where they're going to be, what they're going to do. And Davis, let's start off with another wide receiver today, and Keenan Allen, who is being drafted right now in the second round, mid-late, 28th overall is his ADP. Very unsurprisingly, had 100 receptions on 147 targets, but unfortunately for Keenan Allen, Davis, those 147 targets usually come over the course of two games, 70 in one, 70 in another. 992 receiving yards and 8 touchdowns. I'm confident in saying, Davis, Keenan Allen is going to win a week or two for you. I'm worried about the rest of the season. That's always the same thing for me with him.
Yeah, you know, I kind of have trouble with Keenan Allen as well. He just is never a guy I end up drafting all that often. Now, to be fair to him, from between 2017 to 2019, he had 102, 97, and 104 receptions, 1,400 yards, 1,200 yards, and then 1,200 yards, 6 touchdowns in each of those seasons. Got an upgrade in quarterback last season, did play 2 less games, but, you know, was basically on the exact same per target, per game averages that he'd been on for each of the last 4 years. I think we can clearly say this is the best quarterback he's ever played with. All due respect to Philip Rivers, but it does look like Justin Herbert is just capable of some things that Philip Rivers never was capable of. The reason why I don't find myself taking Keenan Allen all that often is a lot of the time when you are on the clock, when he would be selected, is CeeDee Lamb is available right next to him. And I think CeeDee Lamb probably ends up going in the first round of fantasy drafts next year. I think that, one, he was good as a rookie in 14 games, 111 targets, 935 yards, and 5 touchdowns. Also threw in a rushing touchdown in there. But that was with only 4 games with Dak Prescott. And Amari Cooper is already banged up. Also, Terry McLaurin goes right next to Keenan Allen. I prefer, you know, the younger guys, the ascending guys, to the guys on the way down the hill. So I don't have any real problem with Keenan Allen. But given where he goes in drafts, I'm going to have to leave him.
Yeah, you know, Keenan Allen is not someone I own every year, like almost never. Like, I feel like I almost had him last year and passed. I don't remember who I took instead of him, but like I never end up with him in leagues just because of his seasons seem to be comprised of like 2 or 3 games. At least that's the way I view it. So, okay, so this is a fascinating one and one that we probably wouldn't have focused that much on a month ago, but with Julio Jones gone from the Atlanta Falcons, I suppose you have to wonder if Russell Gage can step in and be a wide receiver too next to Calvin Ridley. His ADP right now is about the 10th, 11th round. It is a 125 from what I'm seeing here. And last season, he caught 72 balls, 786 receiving yards, 4 touchdowns on 109 targets. We also know that the Falcons drafted Kyle Pitts, so clearly he's going to be a major part of the game plan. But history does tell you, Davis, that when the Falcons have lined up a couple of different receivers, they usually have been fairly successful over the course of the season, no matter who the number 2 is. Is that the case, you think, with Gage this year?
Yeah, to me, Russell Gage's ADP has gotten a little bit out of control. And in best ball drafts, by the way, he goes much earlier than this. This is a little bit more measured ADP. This is in a format where people take their tight ends very seriously. People take their quarterbacks very seriously. Best ball average draft position for wide receivers has gone insane. I did a draft this morning, Craig. Brandon Cooks went in the seventh round to give you an idea of where wide receiver ADP has gone in these best ball drafts. But I am out on Gage. I am leaving him because it's not as if he didn't have the opportunity last season. Julio Jones was banged up. Russell Gage played in every single game. He was targeted 109 times, 72 receptions, 786 yards, and 4 touchdowns. I think he could probably do something close to that this season. In fact, Gage was already second on the team in targets and second on the team in receptions last season. And I don't even think he will be second in line. I think he will be third in line behind Kyle Pitts, right? I would anticipate that Kyle Pitts will play more. The other wrinkle with Russell Gage is he is only a slot wide receiver. He really cannot play outside. And I basically anticipate Kyle Pitts playing as the slot wide receiver. I mean, you watched him a ton in college. He can block, but it's not his strong suit. And you don't take a tight end where the Falcons took him in the NFL draft and then ask him to block. It's just not really what you do. So I think that we actually might see him lose playing time to some of their other guys, right? Olamide Zaccheaus, Brandon Powell, guys like that. So I am another guy here. I am leaving Russell Gage.
All right, out on two receivers back-to-back. Let's try for a third. The Las Vegas Raiders took Henry Ruggs in the first round of the 2020 NFL draft from Alabama. He is going in the 11th or 12th round. His ADP is 130 right now. And last season was just marred by injuries, 26 receptions, 452 receiving yards, 2 touchdowns, 45 targets. There was a game where Ruggs made an unbelievable catch all the way down the field, and he hurt his ankle on the play, Davis, and he didn't play the rest of the game, and I don't think he recovered from that game. I don't remember which one it was, but it was very early on in the season. He was wide open like 4 or 5 times. He's one of the fastest players in the NFL. It was questionable that the Raiders even took him at the time, but I would have to think that with very little in terms of wide receiver with the Raiders, his ADP may be correct, but don't these numbers have to be much better this year?
Yep, I am taking Henry Ruggs, and I am taking him a lot. He is one of my most drafted players through all of these best ball drafts that I've been doing. Definitely someone that I'm targeting in the FFPC main event. You know, when we start doing our big high stakes leagues, Ruggs is going to be a guy I'm very interested in. Just historically speaking, we know that if you did nothing but draft wide receivers who were heading into their second year in the NFL and who were drafted very highly in the NFL draft, you know, first, second round picks. So, you know, these are guys like Henry Ruggs, guys like Jalen Reagor, you know, the aforementioned CeeDee Lamb that I was talking about. You are just going to turn a profit on those guys because Henry Ruggs is going to get the opportunity. Heading into the season, the Las Vegas Raiders know that Henry Ruggs is their top wide receiver. Now, will he play like their top wide receiver? We'll see. I am pretty bullish on him. I think that his production profile at Alabama was sort of interesting, and I think the fact that he played with Jerry Jeudy and all these other guys, like it's hard to say. Like, how good is Henry Ruggs really? I don't know. I know that as a 18-year-old true freshman at Alabama, he had 12 receptions and 6 touchdowns. I mean, just think about that. 12 receptions as a true freshman, 6 touchdowns. Pretty impressive stuff from Henry Ruggs. And then he did that. He had a really strong final season as well. So I am taking Henry Ruggs. I think he's a great bet where he goes in drafts. I think he provides a lot of upside, whereas, you know, other guys you're drafting around there, Cole Beasley, guys like that, they're kind of more floor guys. So I am really in on Henry Ruggs.
Yeah, I thought Ruggs was as good as Waddle, was as good as Devonta Smith. I mean, watching him in college, I thought he was just as good as those guys. But look, this is what happens. Receivers get hype. It doesn't work out.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more, sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
People fall out of love. I think that this is a guy also that I'll be in on. It's really not prohibitive. Take him as your wide receiver 3, even based on where he's being drafted right now. And I understand Carr is there, but who knows? Maybe Carr is okay. He always is. All right, we got to take a break here on Fantasy Sports Today. Coming up next, we'll go through some upcoming training camp position battles. Then we'll hit on a little fantasy or reality, as well as the Sports Grid 60. So stay with us here on FST, here on Sports Grid. We're back in 2 minutes.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Steelers, Cowboys, they play early in the Hall of Fame game. And so with a 17-game NFL season and 3 preseason games, you're going to start to hear a lot more chatter about the NFL coming up. So we're trying to give you a little bit of a head start on some of the potential position battles. Of course, Davis's teams. Is your team Kansas City or is it Dallas? Like, it feels like you have 2 teams. Is there like a main team?
No, I just have 2 teams. I mean, if they end up meeting in the Super Bowl, I guess I'll have to decide then. But you know, what's going to happen is just what happens every year is Dallas will start strong and then the defense will be really bad and they're just not going to, you know, they're not going to win the division and it'll just be all on Dak and, you know, Dak will have 1 bad game and then everyone will start to crucify him and it'll just be the whole thing. Although, I'm starting to get worried about the Chiefs because I don't think Brett Veach is doing a very good job building the roster, trading away a lot of first-round picks. You don't really want to be in the business of trading away first-round picks in the NFL because that's your cost-controlled labor.
Yep. All right. So let's take a look at the Chiefs, speaking of which. And we know their number 2 wide receiver could have some value if they would ever turn it over to one. Last year it was Sammy Watkins and a bunch of other guys. And, of course, that's gone now. It's Mecole Hardman, who is atop the depth chart. But Byron Pringle, of course, is there. DeMarcus Robinson has some potential to break out. And I don't know a ton about Cornell Powell, but sounds like the name of a practice squad guy, honestly, for me, Davis. I'm not sure. But Hardman was someone that I had last year just sort of waiting for the moment to come where Watkins got hurt, and then he did. And then I don't think Hardman really even did that much, honestly, on one of my fantasy teams. Pringle's sort of a red zone option. DeMarcus Robinson has a ton of talent. Where do you think the Chiefs go here? Where's the value?
Well, I really wish I knew because I feel like this is one of the key questions for fantasy football in 2021 is how valuable is the Chiefs' secondary wide receivers and does any of them earn a role larger than the others? We know that Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce are probably going to earn roughly 50% of the Chiefs' targets, maybe a little bit less. maybe a little bit more. We also know that the Chiefs are going to be one of the pass heaviest teams in football. You know, over the last couple of years, they have been one of the heaviest pass teams when you adjust for down, distance, and score. In fact, the year they won the Super Bowl, they ran the pass heaviest adjusted for down, distance, and score offense ever. That's obviously good because Patrick Mahomes is, to me, the best we've ever seen at the position up until this point. But I think Clyde Edwards-Helaire probably earns a pretty decent role as a pass catcher. I think we could see him, you know, 12 to 15% of the team's targets. So then the pie gets a little bit smaller. If Mecole Hardman looks really good, and by the way, you know, relative to the touches he has gotten, he has been one of the better guys on the team, yards per route run. He averages 10.7 yards per target for his career. That is best on the roster other than Tyreek Hill right now. But for whatever reason, the team just does not really trust him. They kind of have used him as a role player, especially last season when, as you mentioned, Sammy Watkins got hurt. We thought he'd start playing more of the snaps, and he really didn't. You know, the most snaps he played in the regular season was 68% of the team's snaps. He was decent, but not great. And then in the Super Bowl, he played fewer snaps than Byron Pringle did, which was very bizarre because Pringle really has never done anything in the NFL. Would it surprise you to know that Byron Pringle is actually 28 years old, but entering into his third season in the NFL? Like, this guy has been around for a long time. So I rank them Hardman, Robinson, Pringle, Powell. But in early best ball drafts, I kind of have just made it my MO to take at least one of these guys in every single draft I do. Powell is a fifth round rookie from Clemson, but, you know, kind of the same thing with Henry Ruggs. He played with all these great wide receivers. I'm not going to hold it against him that he was not that great in college. And the fact that he lands with the Chiefs, it's a great landing spot. But I just think all of these guys are valuable where they go in drafts. But I rank them the way that they're up there on the screen right now.
Okay. Yeah. And it makes sense, by the way, hedging a little bit in some of these best balls. Maybe one of those guys works out and then they're a league winner for you. I was surprised to see this battle here because I thought I knew who the starting running back was for the Washington football team, but maybe, Davis, you have a different opinion on it. Antonio Gibson, who I've talked about a ton, didn't own him at all last year, thought he was a potential bust. He was not. He was pretty good. J.D. McKissic got a ton of run last year, both out of the backfield, catching balls and running too. And then Peyton Barber is back for another go at it with Washington. And then Jared Patterson, I believe they drafted him, if I'm not mistaken, last year. I think he's got a shot to make it. Barber's the one I think that would be on the bubble a little bit here. So what is this, like a tandem deal with Washington, you think, this year? Why are we getting into the Washington football team here?
Well, I think it's a pretty important conversation to have because Gibson's ADP has gotten really rich. In some of these high-stakes drafts, Gibson is not a second-round pick. You got to take him at the tail end of the first if you really want him. You know, I've seen him go as high as 10th overall in the FFPC main event. And if you're going to take a running back 10th overall, he's got to be the guy. He's got to get 220 carries. He's got to catch the ball 80 times. And I think Gibson has pressure both ways. Peyton Barber played a little bit more last season than people remember. He had 17 carries in week one. He had 10 carries in week 7. Then he had a stretch from week 11 to week 13 where he saw double-digit carries in each of those games. And he actually scored 4 rushing touchdowns, and obviously none of them were long rushing touchdowns because he's Peyton Barber. That's not what Peyton Barber does. And then the other problem is J.D. McKissic, 110 targets, that was second on the team. If J.D. McKissic gets anything like that target volume this upcoming season, Antonio Gibson is going to be a bad pick, and I don't want that to be true. I think Antonio Gibson is so talented. He was actually a wide receiver at Memphis in college. He was initially a wide receiver, and this is you're not even going to believe it when I say this. Antonio Gibson had 67 touches in college. Like, that sounds like something that can't even be true. You'd be like, well, there's no way that's true, but he literally had touches in the 60s. His 2 years at Memphis. So, you know, a lot of us thought, well, the natural role for Gibson his rookie year is going to be as a pass catcher because that's what he did in college. And they went the other way. They turned him into the early down, first and second down carry guy and gave all those targets to McKissic. So I think he is going to be a guy that we really need to pay attention to in the preseason. You know, what are the beat writers saying? How do they play those guys in preseason? Is J.D. McKissic getting rested with the starters? Is Peyton Barber getting rested with the starters? Does Jarrett Patterson have a role at all? Because he was really good at Buffalo. So I just want to advise caution here, because if we're starting to read the tea leaves that he's not going to catch those passes on third down, we need to adjust our expectations quite a bit.
Yeah, I think that's fair. And it brings for an interesting decision that you have with him on draft day. Okay, so under the narrative of someone's got to catch the ball, let's go to the Houston Texans, where Brandon Cooks is the only player that has shined amongst this list of wide receivers. They have Nico Collins, Andre Roberts, Randall Cobb is still kicking around, and Kiki Kuti finally, I thought last year, came into his own a little bit. I've been waiting on him for a couple of years. I think he had a couple of good games, if I'm not mistaken. But, of course, the quarterback situation remains unclear. It's really remarkable, honestly. We're here on July 20th, and we don't know what the deal is with Watson at this point. That's crazy. I didn't think we'd be here at that point. But what do you make of the receivers here? And, by the way, Davis, is there a chance that Houston, being the worst team in the NFL, looks at Cooks 5 weeks in and says, see ya, send you somewhere else too? I mean, that could change too.
I mean, I think that's basically the reason why we got to talk about these guys, because it is hard for me to imagine Brandon Cooks basically spending one of the last years of his prime trying to catch passes from Tyrod Taylor or Davis Mills. Like, it doesn't make any sense for the Texans to make him do that, and it certainly doesn't make any sense for Brandon Cooks. Like, I would think that Brandon Cooks would try and approach Houston and be like, look, guys, I mean, come on, get me out of here. This is ridiculous. You know, this is a guy who struggled with concussions. I think he's had 4 recorded concussions. So I would think a guy like that would, you know, really have a monitor on his health and on the value of his career and what he's doing out there. Nico Collins, the rookie from Michigan, seems like their plan is probably to play him from day one, because what does it matter? The team is terrible anyways, right? So probably try and give him a role. I think you probably put Randall Cobb in that same situation as Brandon Cooks, where if Deshaun Watson was the quarterback and this was a team that could maybe win the division, you probably feature Randall Cobb a lot. And I think the same is true for Andre Roberts, right? Veteran player. Cutie is the one, I agree with you, Craig, he is the most interesting. He was benched last year, just a DNP CD, you know, a healthy scratch at the beginning of the season. Then they suffered some wide receiver injuries. They move him in against Indianapolis as a full-time player, 8 receptions, 141 yards. He scores a touchdown each of the next 2 weeks, and then he becomes a full-time player again. I think if any of these guys are going to destroy their average draft position and be a real valuable player, I think he's probably Cutie. It seems like for whatever reason, Bill O'Brien hated him, and so when Bill O'Brien got fired, they started playing him more. So I think maybe there is a chance that we actually see a pretty big role from Kiki Cutie in the upcoming season.
Yeah, and with Cooks, he's played in so many big games with the Saints and the Super Bowl with the Patriots, Rams. Like, what is really the point there? Now, Houston want to maximize him and get him some you know, catches and some targets the first few weeks. It does make some sense, but I would say the odds of him playing out the season with Houston doesn't really make a ton of sense. And by the way, once Watson inevitably maybe is announced of not playing, Houston could trade him during the preseason. Some player gets hurt, it's an easy move. So I would not, like you, project him to be on the team the entire year. All right, coming up, it's time for us to dive into some fantasy or reality. The San Francisco Giants are the best team in baseball on July 20th. Will that continue? Also, we'll talk a little Ryan Fitzpatrick on the show. Stay on the grid. We'll be right back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com. We'll be right back.
our producer, Brett Levy, here on the show for some fantasy or reality. And of course, as some of it pertains to the San Francisco Giants, in case you missed it last night, they defeated the Los Angeles Dodgers. They have the best record in baseball, and Buster Posey was on the injured list. It hasn't seemed to matter. He's having a great year. He comes back, first at bat, boom, hits a home run. Their manager, Gabe Kapler, probably going to be the manager of the year in the National League, talked about Posey returning and what he has meant to the club.
Yeah, it was interesting. I was wondering how that first at bat was going to go with the long layoff. You know, we always talk about, do guys need rehab assignments, and are we able to just activate them after an IL stint? And in Buster's case, you know, he's obviously so important to this team, and having his presence behind the plate sometimes could even mitigate some potential rust at the plate as a hitter. Obviously, we weren't able to get him into any sim games or anything like that. Just to see him come out, step up to the plate, and hit a big home run for us was incredibly impressive. I thought he had great at-bats throughout the night. Thought he had some calls not go his way. And I think, you know, you probably sense some frustration throughout that game, and both on both sides of the ball. But certainly, I think Buster had a great game and was excellent at the plate.
What did he tell you?
So Buster Posey, MVP candidate in the National League, who had that one coming, I think, 10 years apart or almost 10 years apart from his last MVP. Let's bring in our producer, Brett Levy, as we begin our fantasy or reality as it pertains to the Giants. That's where we're going to start. Brett, let's go.
All right, Craig. Yeah, the San Francisco Giants, 59 wins so far, one more than the LA Dodgers, three teams with 57 wins on the year. So we got to ask, and Craig, we'll start with you for this one. At the end of the season, the San Francisco Giants will finish with a top two record in baseball. Craig, is this a fantasy or reality?
It's really fascinating because I don't think anybody thought that the Giants would win the NL West, but here they are on the verge of it. Now, there's still a lot of time to go, but I believe the Giants are going to add players coming up on the 30th. I'm not exactly sure how they've been able to make this happen. And by the way, if the question was the best record in baseball, I probably would say fantasy. But one of those three teams that are chasing them down for best record overall is the Boston Red Sox, and I certainly don't believe in them. So basically, what does it come down to? It comes down to, in the American League, the Rays, the Astros, the Dodgers, maybe the Padres in the NL. I got to stop doubting the Giants. I'm going to say top two. I don't think the best, but I do think that whatever they're doing has worked. And if they make a couple of moves here, they've been relatively healthy all season. I think the Giants have a chance to win it all. Crazy to say. I think they do.
Yeah, I got to disagree with Craig because there are too many ways that it can go wrong for them. Their problem is they play in such a strong division, right? So they have the Dodgers and the Padres. Well, the White Sox, who have only two fewer wins than the Giants, they get to play against a bunch of teams that suck, right? The Tigers, the Twins, the Royals. The same is true for the Brewers. The Brewers have 56 wins. They're going to be playing against a bunch of teams in the back half of the season who have traded all their best players away, right? Cardinals will be sellers. Cubs will be sellers. Pirates, I mean, I don't know if they have anything to sell. And the Giants are basically going to be playing in competitive games against really good teams up until the end of the season. I mean, even I agree with Craig. I don't believe in the Red Sox, and I think that the Blue Jays probably are coming. I think the Rays are coming. But I'm just looking at the Brewers and their division, looking at the White Sox and their division, and even the Astros, 57 wins. They don't have the easiest division, but I think that they're probably the best team in baseball, the Houston Astros are. Maybe the Dodgers. I think the Astros are the best team in the American League, and I think that the Astros are going to add some help. I don't know if it'll be pitching help. I don't know if they'll add another right-handed power bat. But I think that the odds are actually pretty strong against the Giants just because they have to play the Dodgers and the Padres so many times for the rest of the season. So I'm going to say that this is a fantasy.
Yeah, it's a fair point. They also play the Rockies. They also play the Diamondbacks too, but definitely a fair point by you for sure. All right, Brett, what else do we have today?
All right. Ryan Fitzpatrick was on Pablo Torre's podcast the other day, and he said that his opportunity with the Washington football team is the best situation he's ever been in his career. So, you know, we had to ask Davis. We'll start with you for this one. Fantasy or reality? Ryan Fitzpatrick is telling the truth about this being the best situation. Is that a fantasy or reality?
No, he is completely full of crap. I am not on board with all of this Washington football team hype. The thing that people reference is they reference how good the defense is. We know that defensive performance year over year just really is not that sticky. Like, we see defensive efficiency is one of the things that really changes year over year. I also am not like a huge fan of the coaching staff that they have in place there. I mean, I think that they're fine overall. You know, I think that Ron Riviera is fine. Scott Turner is okay. Jack Del Rio, the defensive coordinator, I actually don't think is very good. But I think the Todd Bowles coach 2015 New York Jets, which I know we're talking about the Jets as a better situation, but I do actually think that that Jets team, the way it was built at the time, was slightly better. And I also think you got to look at when he was in Tampa Bay. I mean, that was a great team that he played on. That 2015 or that 2017 Tampa Bay team was a really good team. The defense was okay. It wasn't great either way. But I mean, he had a lot of very good players to throw to: Mike Evans, DeSean Jackson, Chris Godwin, Adam Humphries, like OJ Howard before OJ Howard ever got hurt. So I mean, maybe he thinks he's telling the truth, but I really disagree with him.
Yeah, I agree with Davis here. I definitely think this is a fantasy. And look, Ryan Fitzpatrick is going to say all the right things. And by the way, this Washington situation is definitely better than the one that he had in Miami. I'll say that. I mean, he constantly had to worry about who they were going to draft and when Tua was going to come in. I totally agree with that. But if you go back to his, I believe, Jets days, And by the way, I disagree with the Tampa Bay thing. I mean, he had to be worrying about Winston coming in and out of games, too. He was one bad game from being removed there. But he was the guy with the Jets. And he was potentially the guy for a year or two with Buffalo also. So those situations were definitely very good. And he was like 10 years younger. So Fitzy's a good dude. I like to hear some of the things that he says. He's going to get benched this year. Inevitably, it's going to happen. I don't know when. Week 3, week 4, week 2. I don't know, but this is just a case of a guy saying the right thing to endear his teammates and the organization. So Ryan Fitzpatrick is telling the truth. Brett, that is a fantasy for me.
All right. Well, our last one, we're going to talk about Sports Illustrated because Megan Thee Stallion is one of the swimsuit cover, quote-unquote, athletes for the swimsuit edition. But we're more interested in Sports Illustrated, the magazine. So we got to ask, Davis, we'll start with you for this one. In the past 10 years, you have purchased an actual Sports Illustrated magazine in the last 10 years. Davis, is this a fantasy or reality?
This is a reality, not because I ever read them, but because I am a fan of teams that have won championships in the last 10 years, the Kansas City Royals and the Kansas City Chiefs. And in fact, right behind my left shoulder here, you can just see it in the frame, I have the Kansas City Royals 2015 commemorative Sports Illustrated issue from when they won the World Series. You know, they make good decorations. They make good little, you know, kitschy memory pieces. But yeah, in terms of like just buying a print magazine in general, I actually do subscribe to one, but like I feel like magazines don't even exist. I subscribed to this magazine 2 months ago and I haven't gotten a copy of it yet. Like, I feel like magazines are like a joke. Like, I feel like you subscribe to it and you never actually get it. Like, it's just a pyramid scheme for them to, you know, find a way to generate money. So this is a reality I have, but I don't suggest it, and I don't think it was like ever a smart purchase by me.
Yeah, this is actually shocking. You know, you're a reader, so I mean, I think that we could chalk that one up to FanDuel minus 130 that you would have had that over me there. But yeah, I mean, Elder Man Craig here has not purchased a Sports Illustrated in the last 10 years. I tried to think when the last one was, and I, like you, I definitely had the Sports Illustrated when the Miami Heat won the NBA championship in the same way that you purchased your Royals one. And this was not the NBA championship, Davis, with LeBron and Bosh and Wade. This was the one with Wade and Shaq. And Dwayne Wade at the time was coming on my TV show, so I wanted to make sure that I had one for him to sign, and I still have that. But I don't think I've bought one since. When LeBron James had those cards in the SI for kids with Yao Ming on the front, the cover, I bought a million of those. So that was a good move. Like, as many years ago that was before 2003. But Davis, no, I have not bought a hard copy of Sports Illustrated in 10 years. I don't think that I have. Some, you know, I was thinking about this, and I, do they still sell Sports Illustrated? Or is it only online? Like, I feel embarrassed that I don't know the answer to that, but I'm not sure that they still do sell Sports Illustrated. I would have no idea.
I gotta think that they just sell, like, special edition ones. Like, I don't think they make one every single year. And I know that Sports Illustrated was bought by one of those awful click farm or groups, right? I don't even remember the name of it, but they turned Maven. Sports Illustrated in, yeah, like, oh, you won't believe these 10 crazy sports photos or whatever, which is, you know, a huge bummer, because I grew up reading, you know, Sports Illustrated, Rick Riley, yada yada. I mean, everyone knows this stuff. And so that was always a huge bummer. Like, I remember being bummed when that happened. But yeah, I bet they do, like, the swimsuit issue. They do, like, the commemorative issues, I bet. But I bet, like, there's not, like, a July Sports Illustrated with, like, a cover story or whatever. Like, there's got to be no way.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of the last swimsuit issue that I bought. And that one, that goes well beyond 15 years or 20 years. And I think that, if I'm not mistaken, I was going through, like, old programs and magazines in my garage, and I found one. And it was like, wow, I can't believe I even have this, but I think I threw it away. I don't, if it was worth something, I would have kept it. I don't throw away things that are worth something, but that definitely was not. Brett, how about you? Any Sports Illustrated purchases for you? Anything that you own? Any magazines that you still buy?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I have some Sports Illustrated from college. Syracuse was the number one team in the country while I was there, so definitely had to get that one. And I definitely have a few from my time at Cuse.
All right. So there you go. Brett's all in. Davis is sort of in. And me, you would think I would be the one to have it, and I don't. All right. We got to take a break here on Fantasy Sports Today. Coming up next, it's time for the Sports Grid 60. And then we got to bid farewell to you for this Tuesday. But we'll be back tomorrow to recap the NBA Finals and also preview the upcoming expansion draft in the NHL. Don't go away.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back. The NHL expansion draft is tomorrow night. We will bring in George Kurtz for a preview of that on tomorrow's show. But since we have come to the end of the line on today's show, let's turn it over to Davis Maddock as he closes us out with his Sports Grid at 60. Davis, what's on your mind today?
Well, as always, you know, my mind is probably thinking about soccer even when it really shouldn't be. And what starts today is Champions League qualifying, which basically is kind of like a preseason tournament to get into a larger tournament here in a little bit that you have to qualify for. No one cares about the specifics of it. But we also have the Gold Cup going. Then Olympic soccer starts later this week. And just kind of what I was thinking is, these guys get no time off. No one plays more of their sport than soccer players. Football players get a long time off. Baseball players get a long off season. Basketball players, you know, they at least get a couple months of off season. I mean, if you were a guy who was playing in the Euros for your nation, right? So let's say you played for Czechoslovakia and your team also had to play in Champions League qualifying. And then it's also got to play your domestic league. I mean, these guys aren't getting paid enough. They're getting run out like 80 games a year. I can't even imagine. So that's what's on my mind today, is that the international soccer schedule is all sorts of messed up.
A lot of running from those guys in soccer. I don't know how they do it for sure. All right, so we've got game 6 tonight of the NBA Finals, and we're in a win-win situation, because tonight, if the Milwaukee Bucks win, we're going to crown Giannis and have a really good time doing it, because he deserves to win an NBA championship. If the Phoenix Suns win, we're going to get another game of drama in game 7, and we're going to get Chris Paul with an opportunity to win a championship. It's a very rare scenario that you head into game 6 and it really doesn't matter either way. The story becomes good. I think that's what we have set ourselves up with tonight in game 6 of the NBA Finals. Of course, we will cover that for you right here tomorrow on Sports Grid. That will do it for our show here on this Tuesday. Thank you to Connell over at LTN. Thanks to Spencer as well for helping out today. For Danny and Ryan on their graphics and production, our producer Brett Levy, and my co-host Davis Maddock, I'm Craig Mitchell. Hope you have a great Tuesday. We will see you tomorrow at noon.